I just hope you'll take home one thought this morning, and that's the fact that God loves you, God cares about you. And from the beginning of your life to the end of your life, God cares about you. From the moment you were born into this world until the moment you breathe your last breath, there's a God who loves you and who cares about you. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what your situation, there is a God who loves you. There's a God who cares about you. And so from beginning to end, God cares for your life. From the start of your life to the end of your life, God cares for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use your word this morning to just encourage us and remind us that we are loved, we're cared about. Help us to develop the relationship with you that you want us to have. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just listen to me, if you would, as just tell you a little bit of what's happening here, and then we'll read some verses together. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and chapter 11, we're being reminded of some of the things that God did to care about his people. We read about how his people were just little, they were few when they went down into Egypt. They were just really about 70 people. But then God made of them a great nation, and of course God brought them out of Egypt and out of the slavery that they were in. We read about how God delivered them. We read about how God brought them out of Egypt and how God got them away from Pharaoh and how God brought them across the Red Sea. God parted the waters miraculously, and God brought them across. And then with the Egyptian armies chasing them, pursuing after them, the Egyptian armies ultimately were drowned. Their pursuers were drowned, and the Israelite people, the Hebrew people, were allowed to press on because God had something for them. He had a promised land he wanted to give them. He brought them out of bondage. He brought them out of slavery because he had a promised land, a better thing for them. We see that God loved and cared for the lives of his people. We read about how God cared for them in the wilderness and then how God led them to the door of the promised land. We read of God's promise to his people concerning what was waiting for them in the promised land and how it was a place of great abundance and a place of great blessing and a place where the grapes were in abundance and large and just a wonderful place, a land of milk and honey, the Bible says. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 11. If you look with me there at verse number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we're going to read just verses 10 through 12. The Bible says, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came." When she came out. Says, "Where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God," notice this, "careth for." You're going to go into such a wonderful place and such an abundant place, a place that God cares. God's bringing you to this special place where God is going to take care of you. It is a blessed land and you're going to be a blessed people. Says the land which the Lord thy God careth for, verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it." That means he never closes his eyes. He never goes to sleep. He's never busy looking another way that he can't see this. No, God always sees. God always cares. So the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. We read the instructions of Moses to the people and how he reminds them of the importance of loving God. He reminds them about how important it is that they follow God and they obey what God would tell them to do. God wanted them to be in a land that would be blessed and a land that would be beautiful, a land where they would be cared for by God. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. From one end of the country to the other end of the country. God knew the exact dimensions of the promised land, and God said, "This is where I want you. This is going to be a place where you are going to be a testimony to me, to the whole world, that here are my people, here are God's people. You are in a land that is blessed. You are a people that is blessed, if you'll just follow me." We read about how God promised to drive out the enemies in the promised land. Basically, Hebrews chapters 10 and 11 are reminders of how God had loved and cared for his people in the past. And there are assurances that God was going to care for his people in the future if they would simply love God. If they would simply obey God and do what he wanted them to do. Notice down in verse 26, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Moses here is going to tell the people that basically there's two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God and pleasing self. You got two choices, people of God. You can choose to please God, you can choose to follow God, or you can choose to live for yourself. Notice what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 11, verse 26 to 28. It says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." I'm setting before you two things, and you've got a choice. You can choose which you want. Do you want the blessing or the curse? Do you want the blessing of God upon your life, or do you want a curse of God upon your life? He says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known." God's saying to his people, listen, I want you to be a blessed people. I want to bless you. I'm trying to bring you into a land that will be blessed. I want you to be a people that will be blessed. And my eyes will be constantly upon you. I will never stop looking at you or looking upon the land. You will be a blessed people. But you've got a choice. It's up to you. You can have that blessing if you will obey God, if you'll follow him, if you'll keep his commandments, or you can have a curse upon you. If you turn aside from God and turn away from God and go after other gods and false gods to go your own way. You know, the way of our God is always that he has cared for his people. What we see through God's people, through the Hebrew people, is that God has always loved and God has always cared for his own. There are times where his people do foolish things and so on, but God is still long-suffering and patient with them. There are times where they go astray and God will do things to try to bring them back, and God will show them mercy and he will forgive them. God is a loving God, and God loves his people, and God cares about his people. And I believe that in the same way that God, you know, loved especially the Hebrew people in the Old Testament, I believe that God loves all of us who are his children in a special way. And I believe that, you know, like the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament constantly uses the word better and so on. That God has something better for us as his people, as his children. God has something better. And when God takes us and he saves us from our sin and he brings us into a new life, a new relationship with him, what he has for us is always better. It's the best thing that we could ever have. The blessed life. It's the best place to be. I want you to know something this morning, that God loves his people. God loves his children. And we can trust him. You can trust the fact this morning that he will care for you from the beginning of your life to the end of your life. All the way through. I don't believe God has ever failed. Are there times where we've failed God? Yes. Are there times where people can make wrong choices? They've got the choice set before them, blessing and a curse. Yes, we make choices, and sometimes there's consequences for those choices. But let me tell you, I believe that God loves and cares, and God has always honored his word. And God has always blessed his people if we will follow him and obey him. God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. If you are saved, if you are born again this morning, if you are a child of God, do you know there's nothing you can ever do to lose your salvation? Once he saves you, he keeps you. You are kept secure. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and that can never be taken away. God loves you, and God cares about you. From the beginning of your life to the end of your life, from the start to the finish, God cares about you, and God loves you. In Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, it says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, I will listen unto you." I'm going to hearken. I'm going to listen. I'm going to pay attention. God says, I know what I've got for your life. I know the plans I've got for your life. They're great. They're awesome. If you come to me, if you'll pray to me, I'll hearken. When you pray, I'll pay attention. I'll listen to you. The Bible says, God says this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. If you need God today, he's there to be found. He's not, you know, totally turned you off that he doesn't care. He doesn't want to listen to you. No matter who you are, no matter what state your life you're at, no matter what your situation is, if you've done wrong in your life, if you've sinned, you know what? There's still a God who's there waiting to offer forgiveness and mercy to restore you and make things right. He wants you to be right with him. If you're a child of God who has needs in your life this morning, hey, there's a God who's there, who's hearkening, who's paying attention, who's listening, and God wants to hear and answer your prayers. If you seek him, you'll be able to find him. In Psalm chapter 61, verses 1 to 4, the psalmist said this, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I'll abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I'll trust in the shelter of thy wings, the Bible says. Sometimes God makes that comparison in his word of being like an eagle and us being under eagle's wings. Listen, the psalmist says, I'll trust you, God. I'll trust that I'm safe in the covert of thy wings. I'm safe in the shelter of your wings. I'm safe in your care. The psalmist said, from the ends of the earth, why cry unto thee? You know, it doesn't matter who you are this morning, and it doesn't matter where you are, even to the very ends of the earth. God sees his people, and God loves his children, and God hears our prayers. Some people might think, well, my life is in situation that I'm in, I'm all alone. You know, there was a time where, I think it's in the book of Psalms, where it says, no man cared for my soul. Where the psalmist felt like, no man cares about me. No man cares for my soul. And maybe at times you can feel like that in your own life. I'm in a little box. I'm all alone. God doesn't see me and nobody else even cares about me. Well, that's a lie the devil would like you to believe. There's a God who still loves you and there's a God who cares about you. God cares about you. God loves you. There's no place you can go on this earth where you'll be away from God that he can't see you, that he can't hear you, that he stops loving you. He does care. He cares. God sees his people, and God loves his children, and God hears our prayers. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6. God hears our prayers. And God cares for his own. You're his own if you're his children. If you have a relationship with him, you put your faith in God's son, Jesus Christ, and you've been born again. I want you to know this morning that no matter what you're going through, God sees and God cares. No matter what your trial is this morning, God sees and God cares. No matter what your heartache is this morning, God sees and God cares. No matter what your need is this morning, God sees and God cares. You can trust in him. Look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6. And we'll begin in verse number 24. Matthew 6 and verse 24. The Bible says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. In basic, the money and the needs of life. Verse 25 goes on and explains some things. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? You may worry this morning, oh, my situation is pretty desperate. I have great needs this morning. I don't know if I'll have, you know, money for groceries this week, or I don't know if I'm going to have what our family needs. God says, hey, if I feed the birds, can I not feed you? If I take care of the fowls of the air, then can't I take care of you as well? Are you not much better than they? He says in verse number 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider, raiment is clothing and so on. It says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Do we sometimes think, God doesn't even know my needs? He does know. Truthfully, he knows before you even ask. He knows what you have need of, and he cares about you. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, God cares about your daily needs. If you will seek him, if you will put him first, you don't have to worry. God will take care of you. And I know many people, myself included, and many people in this room that could give testimonies of times in your life where you've maybe felt like, I'm getting down to the very, the bare nothing. I have nothing left. I have so little. How are my needs going to be met? How am I going to pay that bill? And God has found a way to step in and help you and take care of you. And you may be going through times like it in your life where you've got physical needs, or maybe it's some other kind of need. And I want you to be assured this morning that God does love you and God does care about you. Put him first. Continue to put him first. You know, just like Moses was making it clear with the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, that, you know, you've got a choice. You can choose blessing or curse. I encourage you, choose blessing. I encourage you to seek God and continue to put him first in your life so that you may have his blessing upon your life. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And begin reading there in verse number 7. It says, ask and it shall be given unto you. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to pray. It says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You know what the Bible is telling us to do in those verses? It's not just saying, go ahead and ask one time, give up, and that's it. The Bible is teaching us in those verses that we need to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. The Bible does teach us something about importunity, the Bible calls it, about persistence in prayer. And there may be times where we ask and maybe we seemingly don't get the answer to prayer right away like we thought we would. God says, don't give up. Ask and ask and ask and ask, and it shall be given unto you. You make sure that things are right in your life, that God can have his hand of blessing upon your life. But listen, if you pray sometimes and the answer doesn't come, then don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Don't give up. Ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and seek and seek and seek and seek and seek. Keep on seeking. Keep on looking. Search for him. You'll find him. Knock and knock and knock and knock and knock and knock and knock, and it shall be open unto you. The Bible teaches us another place, the story of the book of Luke, about the importunate man. Listen, Bible gives a story about a time when there was a friend that came in the middle of the night seeking, you know, a place to stay and so on. And the friend doesn't have any food to feed him. It's very customary. Let's put out a meal. Let's do something. And that person, this friend, shows up in the middle of the night and he doesn't have anything to feed him. And he goes to his neighbor's house asking for bread. And the neighbor's like, leave me alone. I'm sleeping. The guy keeps knocking. wake up. Wake up. I had a friend come in the middle of the night. And he says, leave me alone. What's wrong? What's all the rocking about? Be quiet. But the man keeps on knocking, keeps on knocking, keeps on knocking. If you know that story, the Bible tells us because of the importunity of that man. Because there was a man who wouldn't give up, because there was a man who kept on knocking and kept on asking and kept on pleading, that's why the neighbor finally gets up and gets out a bread and says, here, have your bread. Go feed your buddy. Not exactly like that, but that's what he says. God teaches us. God uses that story. Think, oh, that's crazy. Jesus actually used that story to teach us how to pray. Don't give up. Don't give up. God cares. God sees your needs. Maybe sometimes God wants to see how quick are you going to be to turn your heart away from Him? How quick are you going to be to give up on God? How little is our faith that we'll just ask one time and we don't get the answer right away, and so I'm going to quit praying. God must not care about me. No, God says, don't you quit. Don't you give up on praying. You keep on seeking. You keep on asking. You keep on knocking. God does care about you. God will take care about you. God does hear you when you pray. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And look there at verse number 29 to 31. Matthew 10, verses 29 to 31. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? In other words, without your father knowing. It says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Isn't the Bible kind of a unique book? It's God's word. He says, if a sparrow falls to the ground, I know it. He says, if you lose one of the hairs in your head, I know it. I know the numbers. I've got your hairs numbered. He says, I know. If I'm a God who knows that when a sparrow falls to the ground, and I'm a God who knows the very number of hairs that you have on your head, don't you think I care about you? Don't you think I'm interested in all the little details of your life? His eye is on the sparrow. I know He cares about me. Listen, we have a God who is concerned about every detail of our life. From the beginning to the end, God's eyes are always upon you. From the beginning to the end, from the beginning to the ends of the earth, from the beginning to the end of your life, from the time that you were born until the time that you breathed your last breath, from the time that you were a teenager to the time when you're a young adult, to the time when you were married, to the time when you were single, to the time when you were frustrated, to the time you went through troubles, to the time you walked through a valley, to the time you had a deep trial and heartache in your life, to the time when you're old, to times when you're lonely, to times when you're frustrated. God knows. God sees. God cares about you. Times when you're in need, times when your heart is hurting, God loves you and God cares about you. His eyes are always upon you. He's watching you and He loves you and He cares about you. Truth is, He cares about us even before we were born. And from the beginning to the end of our life, He knows us. God cares about us. The Bible says this, if you want to look with me at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. Just towards the very end of your New Testament. 1 Bible teaches us that God cares about us. It says, if we go back to the end of verse 5, it says that God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Back in Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22, the Bible says this, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. You know what God wants you to do with those burdens and weights that you may be carrying around? Give them to Him. Let Him carry them. God doesn't want you to carry burdens that were intended for Him.
God wants to be your helper. God wants to give you strength. God wants you to cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. I in the last few months, not too long ago, there was a time when I was in our devotions with our children. We kept having something come up, and I kept emphasizing this verse in Psalm 55:22 that says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee." And I taught them that what God wants to do is very much similar to the way God, to what happens when you have a person that's on a weight bench, and they may be lifting some weights. Sometimes if a person was in a situation where they're going to lift a lot of weight, that's really going to be a stress to them. It's wise to have a spotter. A spotter is somebody who, if there's a weight bench and somebody's going to do the bench press, and somebody is laying out on that bench, and they've got a big barbell, and they're gonna lift those weights up. If they're gonna go and lift, you know, what for a lot, some people, you know, 200 pounds or 300 pounds or 400 pounds or what would be a lot of weight depending on what the man is and so on. You know, probably 50 pounds for his brother Abraham, right? 60, okay. Then it's wise to have a spotter. A spotter would be somebody that could be standing there behind at the end of that weight bench, and they're there, that if the person is struggling, that person can lift that, help to lift that barbell and put it into place. There's brackets that help to hold that barbell in place and all that weight. You know what I taught our kids? God doesn't want to just be your spotter. God doesn't want to just be there who's someone who's near, and when you're really in trouble, and when, oh, I'm really about to cave now, God, help me. And you just cry out to Him, and He lifts that way. You know what God really wants you to do? He wants you to get out of the way and let Him carry the burden. You may be there struggling, and you're underneath that weight, and you may be going through trials and burdens, whether they're great or little. That God is standing aside, and He's right there, and He's big, and He's strong, and He's ready, and He's available to help. But you struggle with burdens. And you struggle with trials you're going through in your life. And you struggle with some heartaches, and you've got some difficulties, and you've got some needs, and you've got financial pressures, and you've got marriage problems, and you've got different difficulties in areas of your life, and you're struggling under it all the time. And maybe it is that you haven't even cried out to God yet. And there's a reason for that. It's because we often think we can handle things on our own. That's why in 1 Peter, the Bible says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. God can give grace. God can help. But what do we have to do? Be willing to step aside and let God get in. Get God get involved. You know what God wants to do in this whole scenario of a weight bench, using that as an example? God doesn't want to just be the spotter that when it's really too much, when it's really, you're really overwhelmed, finally you go to God. No. God wants you to get out of the way from the beginning and let God get in there. Let God get underneath that weight. Let God bear those burdens for you. And let God show you what He can do. And you just be over there standing at the side. Wow. Wow, my God is awesome. Wow, my God is big. My God is strong. My God is able to help me. I've seen some things that my God can do, and He's fixed these problems, and He's met these needs. My God is awesome. You know that's what God wants? He wants the chance to flex His muscles and bust out His jacket and show you that your God is absolutely awesome. And you praise Him, and you glorify Him. But too often, we as Christians, we struggle under the weight when God says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and He'll sustain thee. You get out of the way. Why don't you let God help? Why don't you let God be the strength? Why don't you let God show off? Why don't you let God care for you in your trials and your burdens and your needs, and you get out of the way? In 1 Peter 5:7, it tells us to cast our cares upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. You know, you may live your life just going around. You're walking around all the time. You're carrying a burden. You're just carrying it around. And sometimes those burdens grow, and sometimes those burdens increase. And it gets hard, but you just keep holding on to it. You just keep holding on to it. You just keep holding on to it. That's not what God wants you to do. The Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. Why don't you bring it to God and let God carry the burden? Oh, that feels better. Thank you, God. Thank you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He'll sustain thee. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Why do we leave God just standing there, available, ready to help, and He's just standing there because we want to carry it alone? That doesn't seem right. Eric, can you come up here? Can you stand up here? Stand up here. Yes, sir. Stand up here right now. You go around sometimes and, man, oh, what a struggle. God doesn't want you to do that. Why are you carrying a burden that God didn't intend for you to carry? This will give you a stoop back. This will give you pains. This will make life worse and hard. God says, you cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He will He will sustain thee. He will sustain thee. You don't have to carry the burden. There's a God who's bigger than you are. There's a God who's stronger than you are. And He wants to carry your burdens. Why in the world do we carry them? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. God loves you this morning. He loves the teenager. He loves the young person that's struggling in life. He loves the person who's struggling with sin or something that you know. You're a Christian now. You're saved. And I want the victory over that. But you're not getting the victory. Maybe you're trying in your own strength and ability to overcome the grip of some sin or some addiction in your life. But you can't do it on your own. Let God. Let God. You're struggling with finances, you're struggling in your home, you're struggling with your kids, you're struggling with your marriage, you're struggling with your emotions, you're struggling with what, it could be a lot of things. Or just one thing. But you're just trying to handle it on your own. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. He's watching. He sees. He knows every one of you. He knows where you're at. It doesn't matter where you'd go. It doesn't matter who you are. He loves you and He cares about you and He sees. From the time of your birth until the date of your death, He cares. From beginning to end, God cares. Don't struggle under the weight of things and burdens of things that God doesn't want you to. Learn to cast your cares upon the Lord. Learn to pray. Learn to spend time with God. Learn to get up in the morning and before you go to bed at night. Learn to have times every day where you are spending it in prayer. Where you are spending it in the Word of God. When you are letting go of some things that are weighing you down internally. Whatever it is, you know, emotional struggles or just other difficulties and needs that you have in your life that you don't have the power to fix. And even times where we think we've got the power to fix. God, I need you. I can't do this. You know who God helps? He helps the humble. He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. When you're in there thinking, I can do it. I can do it all myself. God is just standing over there looking and thinking, I'm here. Would you get out of the way? Would you let me carry that? God wants you to get out of the way. Cast your burden upon Him and let Him just show you how awesome He is. He likes it. He's God. That way you'll start bragging on Him and praising Him. You see, it works out better for everybody. God's God. He wants it to be that He gets the chance to show how awesome He is. And we brag on Him and we glorify Him because we let Him do what only He can do. It's good for God, but it's also good for us. Because then we don't struggle carrying things that God didn't intend for us to carry. We don't live with stresses and burdens and trials and pressures and so on that God wants us to let go of. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, help people to see this morning the victory, grace, and help that can be had from God. Sin in our life that we may struggle with, we can let go of. We can find forgiveness and grace and mercy with God. We can be saved from the penalty of sin when we come to Christ and we're born again. We can be saved from the power of sin over our lives, the grip that it may have at times. We don't have to live as a slave to sin no longer when once we're saved. And God, help us to find in Christ the power that there is to live a resurrected life, a new life in Christ. Lord, help us with the trials and burdens of life, the pressures, struggles, the needs that we have, Lord, to learn to cast our cares upon You. Cast our burden upon the Lord. Because it's true that You love us. You care about us. You've always cared for Your people. When we're up, You love us. When we're down, You love us. You care about us. You want to show us that You care about us. You want to hear and answer our prayers. You're ready. You're available. If we seek You, we'll find You. If we knock and keep knocking, if we'll ask and ask, You will help us. God, help us to find that in You is everything that we really need. And in You, we can have victory. And in You, we can find grace and strength and help. Lord, help us to humble ourselves enough to cast our cares upon the Lord and cast our burdens upon the Lord so that You might sustain us and strengthen us and help us. God, help us not to doubt Your love and care for us in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.